Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller. Welcome to Rated G Radio, everybody. Of course, I am your host, Garrett Miller. Tonight, we have a cool, action-packed show. It's jammed back-to-back-to-back with fascinating people and guests. But before we get to Trina Butler, who's calling in to talk about the Winter Solstice event in Salem, Oregon on December 20th, I have a request. And I don't usually make requests, but I'm going to make one tonight. If you are a teacher or have kids, so this kind of throws out the net to a lot of people who are listening today. If you're a teacher or have kids, now here's the other caveat, that have pets or have had pets. I was on a conference call today with my partners over at Chat and Spin Radio, and they have got a really neat lady by the name of Carrie Ann Dean. She's an author, and she is looking to put together a published book on kids and pets. And it's a third volume of work that she is putting together. And she is looking for kids here in the United States. She's got the UK covered. So they're blasting this out to all the teachers and schools and that type of stuff across the pond, as they say. But she is looking to get some kids here in the United States to write letters about what the pets have meant to them. 85 words or less. So we're not talking about, you know, anything that's cross-referenced in Encyclopedia Britannica thick or anything like that. But maybe sometime in the next week or so, if you have a chance to sit down with your kid, or if you're a teacher, say, you know what, this would be kind of a fun project. Get the kids to write what their pet has meant to them, 85 words or less, and submit it, and I'm going to tell you how to do that in just a second. And all entries are published. So if you have maybe a little one that would be just overjoyed to think about getting something published in their lifetime, let's get them started early. Write a letter about their pet. You can go to my Facebook page and look for the event, Kids and Pets Volume 3, Book Help UK. I just posted that today. It's on there for about 10 hours ago, but you'll see comments from Carrie Ann Dean. She is the author, and she's with Paw Print Publications as well. So if that's something that might interest you this holiday season, maybe as you're, you know, getting ready to decorate the Christmas trees or however you celebrate the holidays, you take a couple of minutes out and say, you know, what does Fluffy or Fido mean to you? And just have them do a quick little note. That would be kind of cool. And that might be a nice little Christmas present to save for Grandma and Grandpa for next year. What the end of the result of all of this is that the money that's raised by the book sales actually goes to benefit animal shelters and help pets in need. So that's always a cool thing. Now, let's get on to our featured guest for the first half of the show tonight. It is Trina Butler, and she's calling in from Salem, Oregon tonight to talk about the Winter Solstice celebration on September 20th. Trina, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Garrett. Thanks so much for having us.
I am so thrilled that you are here. Now, I always tell everybody, here's the 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. About a hot minute ago, Trina and I went to high school together back in Salem. And we've stayed in touch on social media through Facebook. Thank goodness for reconnecting fun people that you have, known in prior lives. And Trina is one of those wonderful people. And so we stayed in touch over the last couple of years. And I saw something a while back about this event. And I said, Trina, we need to have you come on the show because that would be really cool. And so that's kind of how Trina agreed to come on the show tonight. So everybody listening, give a big, warm round of applause sitting in your living rooms or sitting at your computer to Trina for coming on to the show. So, Trina, how are you, my dear?
Wonderful, thank you. And, again, thanks for having us. We're just excited to be here.
Sure. Well, we're going to talk about the event in just a second. But before we do that, tell me all the things that are fun and exciting that are going on in Salem right now for the holidays.
Well, we always have the Christmas parades and the lights going up, and it's always fun when you see some new, I don't know if it's new, but I like going down by the Capitol and how they've developed all that space in front of there always looks so wonderful. And I really noticed this year on the big giant snowflakes that they have. And so I just love looking at the lights at this time of year. It's beautiful.
Isn't it fun?
It is.
And I have to live a little vicariously is for wintertime conditions, because I'm down here in Southern California, and I think today was like 72, and I'm sitting here in gym shorts and a T-shirt right now. So nobody has sympathy for me, and I'm not asking for it. But whenever I have people calling in from other weather conditions, I'm always like, what's the weather like? And, you know, It's really cloudy in Salem often. We did get some rain, but we didn't get snow all for, you know, that often or that much very often, did we?
No, we didn't.
It snow there? Has it snowed there yet so far this year?
I haven't seen any yet, and I don't believe so, but I know that Portland area got some. I don't know if it was just a week or two ago, but, you know, I can still firstly remember last year's. We had, over a week where it just stayed, and it was just, I enjoyed it. Not everybody did, but.
Cool. Well, as a great lead-in, what's coming up for this winter solstice event that you're in charge of in Salem? What's going on with that?
Well, the winter solstice is one of the shortest days of the year, but yet it also is new beginnings. And so this, because it also marks that point when we all start moving forward back towards the longest day of the year. And so it is a time for growth and change. And the winter solstice metaphysical fair that we're having is about promoting that growth and different ways to tune into what do you have for the new year? What's coming up? Where should you be changing? What are your New Year's resolutions? What will they be? And so we have so many vendors that are able to help out with that. And also it's the time of year when some people, that this isn't the happiest time of the year for them. Sometimes it's sad. And so sometimes they're missing loved ones and things. And so also some of our vendors help people get in touch with those. And so that they can find peace and harmony too. So we offer so many things.
So what type of vendors are going to actually be at the event?
Well, we they keep coming in. One of them will be Channeled Blessings of Brandy Hall. And Brandy channels, about anybody, not just anybody, but whoever comes through, your guides. I've gone to a class with her with Isis being channeled for the chakras and stuff. So she does readings and healings in that area. We also have people that just do intuitive readings being across from you. What are they getting from spirit? What do you need to know from your guide? Some of them use tarot cards. We have many people that do that or use oracle readings, which is oracle cards, and those tell you a little bit more about the positive things coming in for you and what's going on.
Cool. And then what are you doing at the event?
Well, mostly for myself, I'll be helping making sure all the vendors are going, but I am also, as always, promoting, I do hypnosis, and so it's not that it's a place where I do instant inductions and work on people, but I'm always happy to schedule events and times with people. One of my specialties is past life regressions, and that is a moment of such awe and reverence for me that I so enjoy everything that I hear that people had learned in their past lives. Like, in a way, I do things a little bit differently myself, and that is where we're looking at what did they need to learn, how did they learn it, what's going to help them in this lifetime, and I am just in awe is all I can say. So I do get to promote my hypnosis business, but mostly I love to flare around, to every booth.
Trina, so let me ask you this. How did you get started doing hypnosis? If anybody knows who I am, we all know I'm not like 20 anymore. So where did you go after high school, and how did you begin your career in this direction?
Well, it wasn't until in my 40s that I was helping somebody else out with their becoming a certified hypnotherapist. And it just seemed like it just opened up the world. My belief in God just changed so much. And so I should say before I go into that is that I have just started on my journey here on the Center for Inner Awareness that I'm just going on to become a 4-year study in the ministerial courses.
Wow.
Which is just so exciting for me, because it's not that I want to be a reverend or anything, but again, it's awakening more of the divine in me. Since I went to my hypnotherapy classes, my life used to be in a little box. My views were so narrow. Everything was so narrow. And I even questioned if I could go to there, because it was more metaphysical, just like our fair. And I was thinking, well, that's really out there. What will people think? And first of all, who cares? But the second is that it didn't change my views of God. It just it expanded them from God being in this little church or this little whatever to being the universe, the beyond all the galaxies. I mean, it's just he's so large. And so when I went to hypnotherapy classes, I remember seeing a phoenix rising when I was sitting across the instructor at a Positiva in Portland. And I was like, wow. And I looked at you. I saw this phoenix rising. And she looked at me. She goes, that wasn't me. That was you. And it was like,
oh my gosh.
You know, the chills, you know. But so now I'm going to this ministerial school here at the Center for Inner Awareness. And that's who's hosting this whole metaphysical event. And we have a four-year ministerial program. We have a healing ministerial program. We offer so many workshops on, you just couldn't believe, on, you know, across the whole thing, you know, that coexist sticker definitely is here. It's just a warm, welcoming place where everybody can learn, you know, in their own paths. And we offer so many ways to get there. And so this metaphysical event is another way that the Center for Inner Awareness is outreaching people to awaken the divine.
And what do you do with your outreach?
What do you mean? Say that again.
I mean, do you go out into the community, or how would, if I didn't know you, Trina, how would I ever come about finding you and wanting to come to take a look at what you do?
Well, for myself, I have Healing Hands Hypnotherapy, my own website, and that's where most of all my business, how most people find me. I have a great web pro who did my website, so it's encoded with Salem, so it's nice when people want to say, not for a second, wow, so I'm pretty jazzed about that. So mine is mostly the website. The center here where my office is located, they have a website, the Center for Inner Awareness, and so I'm on theirs as well.
Cool.
I'm also involved in secretarial work for the center, too, so I'm pretty invested in the space and love when you look around that you can see, you know, the love that we put into the place.
Cool. Hey, it looks like we might have a caller calling in, and I have not pre-screened the call, but would you be open to take a call?
Oh, yes. I told some of our vendors they could call in.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. This is area code 561-561. You are live with Trina Butler, and we're talking about the winter solstice event in Salem on Saturday, December 20th. Caller, you're live. Maybe not. That is the beauty of live radio sometimes. You know, a lot of times when people will call in, they'll think that, you know, oh, I better put my phone on mute. Here's the secret, everybody. When you call into this radio show, your phone lines are automatically muted when you call in. So even if you have screaming kids in the background or you got the Blazer game on or anything crazy like that, we can't hear a thing. So you're always safe. So we might go back to that in just a second. So tell everybody where it's going to be and when it's going to be and, you know, anything else that might be kind of fun and exciting that's going on in that area at this time.
Okay. Well, it is on December 20th, which is right heading into that summer solstice day. So it's still all part of there. So it's December 20th from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. And it's located at 2111 Front Street Northeast in Salem. And if anybody is familiar with the area where there used to be the Prime Rib or the Illusions nightclub that burned down on the riverfront, that's where we're located. And it's just,
you have the Prime Rib?
Well, we used to have the Prime Rib. It changed to so many different things. But we're right next to the Oregon School of Massage. And so we have a wonderful parking lot. It's
oh, my gosh. Okay. Can I ask you this? And this is only because I haven't been back to Salem in 100 years, and I apologize to everybody in Salem who I owe visits to. So is the Prime Rib not there any longer?
It's not there. There's just a blank slab there. That,
really?
Yeah. It used to be Illusions Nightclub, and that burnt down. And
oh,
so
my gosh. Okay, so I guess the last time I was there was probably in like 2009. So it's been gone for a while then.
Yes, it has.
Wow.
Quite a while.
Okay. Old home. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I always love about Salem is that, this sounds so crazy to even tell you this, Trina, but it's whenever I land in Portland, I get my rental car and I head down to Salem. Even if I've got stuff in Portland, I always head down to Salem first. I don't know why. And I always go down to see the first house that I grew up on Ewald Avenue off of Commercial in South Salem. And then I drive back up to Northeast Salem to go see the house that I grew up in when I was going to high school and when we met. And it always just shocks me to see how different the neighborhoods are, you know, because you always have that, I guess, romanticized version of, you know, where you grew up or whatever the case is, and to see how the neighborhoods have changed so dramatically it's stunning. You know, because Salem used to be this sleepy little town, and now it's like this bustling metropolis, and it just goes on forever.
Yeah, it does. I always enjoy, even though still living here, I like to go drive by the high school, you know, see what have they added, what have they done, you know, or walk the trail park that they put in around there, where, you know, the soccer field, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You remember the sign? Well, you remember when? So now it's like old homework, and I apologize to everybody who's listening. But I've got Trina on the line. I got to do this. You know, we had the McKay Royal Scots painted up in the senior hall, and you know some of the other things we did. That was so much fun. Wouldn't go back, but I love my time there. And our caller out of the 561 area code dropped off, so apparently they were like, we freaked them out.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right. But we'll come back to listen another time.
Yeah,
for sure.
Come on back. And we've got we've got a couple of minutes here. We've got Anita in Oregon. Anita and I, Anita used to be my boss at Oregon State Parks when we were down on, I think it was Front Street. And so that was, you know, a million years ago. So that was such a fun job. I loved working for Anita because she let me go out to the different parks around the state and, you know, go to events, that type of thing. But Anita's listening on the radio right now. I've got Angela in Costa Mesa listening. I've got John in upstate Connecticut. I've got Anthony in Long Beach. We've got Steve in Omaha. I've got my aunt and uncle Dallas and Marilyn out of, well, they're in Overgard, but I just say Phoenix. Janet in Arizona, Charlene in Arizona. Renee up in Woodland Hills, and the list goes on, people who are listening tonight. So thank you very much for tuning in. And if you're in the Salem area, Trina, one more time, why don't we kind of give a quick rundown in case people have just tuned in. What is happening on the 20th of December for your group?
Well, it is a metaphysical fair where we have many vendors that are not just offering services but gifts as well, but we have intuitive readers, aura readers, channelers, mediums, sometimes in, you know, intuitive art. We have a lot of mystical things. One of them, some of the people that be there, Laura Walters, and she captures all these elementals and fairies in pictures. And she has her own slideshow. She's going to be there with her prints and stuff. We have computer. We have multi-pure water. We have nutritional health. We just have so many things. Raven, Dawn's intuitive readings will be there. Let me just think. We just have so much to offer. It's just amazing. Mary Jo Weavers, who does karmic astrology, and she's going to be offering 50-minute soul mission astrology sessions as well as aromatherapy. So I just can't tell you how many mandala lady with Maureen Frank. We even had somebody that's usually on the psychic hotline, Robin Galen, will be doing stuff with her as well. But one of my favorite things that are going to be there, and I'll be purchasing, we have a lady named Alyssa Drake who does the forest ones. And on my Facebook page, I've posted pictures before of these mystical creatures that she has, and they all have their names and the things that they bring in. And it's just not just the readings, but we also have jewelry, gifts and services. Look Ma Jewelry will be there, but there's so many to name, I can't even tell you all, but it's a metaphysical fair, and so you really can get in touch to whatever area you need.
I love it. So if you're in the Salem area, you have to go. I think on the show page, if you're listening live tonight, there is a link for the Facebook page for the event itself. So if you check that and need more information, you can do that. But again, it's going to be Saturday the 20th in Salem, Oregon, 2111 Front Street. I put Building 3, and I don't know how important that is, but that's Salem, Oregon. It's on the northeast corner of Pine and Front Streets. And Trina, before I let you go tonight, do you want to give mad shout-outs to anybody tonight or any last words of wisdom you'd like to impart upon the listeners?
Well, I would just love to say, announce everybody, I'm getting married on the 21st, the love of my life, Shelly and Anna, and we're just so excited. Anyway, that's who to give my shout out.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us. Appreciate this, Garrett, very much.
Oh, you betcha. Well, I am so excited for you guys. Take lots of pictures, and like I told you before the show started, get some video. Okay, so here's my other ask. So I've already asked Trina for this, so have somebody come up with an iPhone. So for all the listeners out there, if you are in the LGBT community and have gotten married in the last couple of years, well, I don't care when you've gotten married, it just kind of comes out like Tourette's like that. If you've gotten married in the last couple of years and have videotape of your wedding ceremony and would like to possibly have some footage included in a new music video that I am working on, I would love for you to send me an email and we can chat on the phone about what I'm looking for. It's garrett@garrettmiller.com, and you can email me at any time, and I would love to hear from you. So there's that. Trina, I'm going to wish you lots of luck, sending you all kinds of great vibes your direction for the event. I would love to have you back after the first of the year, because I'm not doing shows after the 19th. I'd like to have you back maybe after the first of the year and just kind of find out a little bit about how everything went and, you know, what life is like as a married woman for you.
All right. Would love to be
right
there.
On.
Love to.
Cool.
Okay.
So everybody else,
well,
hang on the line. We're going to play a couple of songs from recent Rated G Radio guests on the Friday Night Dance Party. This is going to start out with Noble Creatures. This is called Between Us. We'll have a couple more, and we'll be right back at the half hour.
We can listen to the ocean, sift our toes in the sand. You can sing and I will follow you, just as far as I can. We'll dip our bodies in the water to feel that bold and constant push, egging on the things that we both know won't do restrain any good. Try to maintain composure, but we're so eager to feel. Right or wrong, there's nothing left between us, 'cause to us this feels real. 'Cause for us this is real. Rest your head on my shoulder, let our minds wander far from here, then let gravity bring you back to me, just like we're heavenly spheres. We try to maintain composure, but we're so eager to feel. Right or wrong, there's nothing left between us, 'cause to us this feels real. For us this is real. Ain't gonna keep you waiting slow, but I'm catching up to you. Pushing steady, resting time so I can be. About what I want,
This has never been about what I need. Won't you tell me if I'm wasting time on somebody who won't be true to me? Trust was hard to come by for someone like me, someone like me. Trust was hard to come by for someone like me, someone like me. Did you ever think about what you've done? Did you ever think about how I'd feel if you're gonna turn your back on everything? You better own up to what you've done to me. Trust was hard to come by for someone like me, someone like me. Trust was hard to come by for someone like me, someone like me. Anyone can say they're sorry. You're gonna have to prove it to me. Prove it to me. Go on and prove it to me.
Noble Creatures. And I think still on my Facebook fan page is my picture with Luis from a couple of weeks ago. We went out to the Grove in West Hollywood and had some lunch. And, you know, whenever I go and visit with folks, I love to get a picture just to, number one, because it's fun to take a picture, but it's more fun to take a fun picture. And Luis was a good sport, and I said, you know, okay, what are we going to do? And I said, let's be professional wrestlers. So we both grabbed metal chairs and looked like we were going to smash each other in the head. So had a great time with Luis. And again, Noble Creatures is the group, and they're working on a new album right now, but you can go and check out their albums. They've got a couple of them that are on iTunes right now. Noble Creatures, enjoy their music. But and I'm going to say, enjoying the show right now, I'm welcoming Ben Bauer and Carlos Pedraza to the show. Ben and Carlos, welcome to Rated G Radio. How are you guys tonight?
Great. Great to be with you today.
Thanks for
doing
both
well.
Of you for
Thank
calling
you so
in.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you got you bet. So okay, so six. I always say the 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. I'm introduced to you guys from filmmaker Robert Rollins, who was kind enough to introduce me to your group last night. And I said, we've got to get you guys on the show because you have this Indiegogo campaign going on. So number one, tell us about your movie, but I also want to find out about you guys. How did you come together to start on this project and get involved? Carlos, we'll just start with you. Is that cool?
Sure, I'll start. And we can tell our own 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, awesome.
Because that's we kind of have that happen too. So this is my third feature film, and JT Tepepa, who's directing this film, and I have been together as producers for almost a decade on various projects. And our first feature, Judas Kiss, was playing Film Festival back in 2011. It was released this about this time of year, 2011, 3 years ago, and we were contacted by a producer named Tom Lee up in Seattle, who had acquired the rights to this book, Something Like Summer, by Jay Bell, which at that point he'd had a couple of books out, and it was prior to him becoming sort of this independent publishing phenomenon, which he has. It was a very sweet story. It was maybe at first, when I first started reading, a little too sweet for my taste. I prefer things a little bit of an edge, and it's a great love story. And then part two of the book happened, and all of a sudden there was edge. So it kind of grabbed me at that point.
And got you by surprise.
Because it started out as a story between these two sort of star-crossed, lovers in high school, and everything goes wrong for them. And I was like, oh, it's very sweet, but it's kind of like a high school love story. And then all of a sudden it's like years later, and all kinds of stuff has happened to the two of them, and they've gone their separate ways. And then, it follows them for a total of 12 years. So from the time they're teenagers to the time that they're adults, which, by the way, presented no small casting challenge, which I'm happy to talk about later as well. But, so that's how we came across the book, and, We really liked it. I thought it was it presented a great. It's my first adaptation. Everything I've done has been pretty much original stuff. So I was looking forward to the challenge, and it was, of adapting a novel into a 90-minute screenplay. So then we just started. We went right into development because we were pretty close to winding up our film festival run for Judas Kiss. So I started writing, and we started raising money, and we were fortunate that we were able to raise enough money to do development. And when independent filmmakers say do development, they mean, basically live like a pauper, but, still be able to pay for food and rent, and not have to have a full-time job. So I guess that makes me a professional, because I have no other work other than this. And, so then we went through. I find usually it takes about 4 or 5 drafts to get a screenplay into the shape that you want to really start, casting and pre-production, and that's where we are now. We're in the middle of raising money, and, we'll talk about the Indiegogo and where we are with other financing. Happy to talk about that as well. So that's kind of where we are right now. We've been the script has been locked down for about a year, and we've done table reads down here in L.A., another one up in Seattle to sort of help, refine it a bit. And we started casting this past spring, and that's how we found our lead characters, the actors to play our lead characters, which is how we ended up in the same project as one Benjamin Bay Bauer.
There we go.
Yeah,
well, let's talk to Ben for just a second, Carlos. Ben, so introduce to the listeners who you are and how you ended up coming onto the project.
Hello, my name is Ben Bauer, and I play Jace in Something Like Summer. Actually, Carlos, I don't know, in the times that we've actually spoken, because we actually haven't known each other that long, I don't know if you'll remember this, but I actually sent you guys a tape for The Dark Place, your second feature, The Dark Place.
Actually, I do know that, because that was the first time that you got on my radar. And the funny thing with Ben is that, I got pinged about Ben Bauer from about 5 different angles over the course of the last year. And The Dark Place, by the way, is our second feature film, which was just released on digital platforms this past week. So, we didn't hire Ben the first time.
Rude.
But not because we weren't interested in him. He sort of stayed on the radar, because when he pinged again, I was like, I remember this guy. And then, of course, I heard about Hunting Season, and then, and then fate conspired that I hear about him from other angles as well. And then it pretty much became pretty clear to me that the universe wanted me to work with Ben Bauer. So
there you go. So Ben, have you always been an actor? Have you done other things before deciding this is what you want to do to become rich and famous?
Well, right. Rich and famous. That's the goal. No, actually, I I grew up doing theater at a local community theater in Albany, Oregon, which is a tiny little town.
Are you kidding? Is this like a setup, Ben? Are you really from Albany, Oregon?
I'm legitimately from Albany, Oregon.
Okay, because our guest in the first half, this is not planned. Our first guest was Trina Butler, and she's from Salem, Oregon. I'm from Salem, Oregon. So this is like an Oregon reunion show.
Right now, it's all happening.
Well, and guess where we're shooting the movie?
Where? Oh, Carlos, come on.
We're shooting it in Oregon. I'm telling you, this is no small sort of universe moving in certain directions, and the universe apparently loves the state of Oregon.
Well, it's a great
state.
Yeah.
Oregon. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So what part are you going to be shooting in?
We're going to be shooting mostly in Portland and in Byron.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Sorry, Ben, sorry. I get so excited when people say Oregon. So you did community theater in Oregon, in Albany, and then what happened?
I grew up very involved in this community theater, and then when I went to high school, West Albany High School, I was involved in pretty much every play production. But then once I graduated and went off to college, I never actually considered theater or acting in general to be something that was accessible to me. Like, I never thought of that as a career. But so then I went to Portland State University for about 2 years, and I was a business major, and I was so miserable. I was not having a great time. And then, the forces that be convened, and I ended up going down to Los Angeles, where I attended the American Musical and Dramatic Academy. And, the rest is history. I'm now fully committed to being an actor and making that happen because, I mean, let's be real, it's pretty much my only usable skill set.
Very good, very good. Well, Ben, I'm thrilled to have you here tonight. Carlos, you'd said this is your first time trying to adapt a book into a screenplay, and this is your third feature film. What kind of a process do you go through to try to, I don't know, if I use the word recreate, forgive me if that's the wrong word to use, but what process do you go through to put something that is in written form like that into something that's completely different but still try to tell the same story?
That's the real trick. I did research. By training, I'm a journalist, and so I hit the books when there's something I'm not quite sure about how to do. So I read about a lot of books about how to do adaptations, and one of the things they say, like, the first rule is you owe nothing to the original source.
Really?
Double-edged sword. Yeah, the idea behind that is if you try to hew too close to the original story, and even going into this process knowing that, my first draft was about 172 pages long. Which,
and is that good or bad?
You know, that's really bad. that's like a 3-hour long movie. So over the course of revising it, we got it down to around 90 pages. So some rule of thumb is 1 page of script equals 1 minute of screen time. So obviously the longer the movie, the more it's going to cost to make. And movies at our level cost, you know, around $10,000 to $15,000 a page on average. So
wow.
You can kind of figure out what the financial challenges are in not being able to, you know, kind of hack away at a story. And so the idea behind you owe nothing to the source is that you have to be willing to cut things. And my approach for that is, okay, what is the essence of the story? What is it that has to happen in order for this to be a story that will both satisfy fans of a novel and attract people who've never heard of the novel before but really just want a good story? And frankly, there's more of the latter than the former, so you kind of have to, but you don't want to make the first, the former angry. So it's a real tightrope walk, and I feel like we've done okay with it. But of course, I won't know until fans of the book actually see it. But I do take heart in the fact that the author of the novel, Jay Bell, is a very, very gracious and talented man who was great about reading drafts of the script, which I wouldn't normally do with an author, but it was really clear to me that he was okay kind of giving up ownership in a way. And he ended up giving me some great notes, not trampling on some of the things I had to do, and I feel like I also was able to respect the core of his story.
Nice.
So it worked out okay. So that was the first big philosophical challenge. The other thing was, you know, there are things that you can do in books that you can't do in movies. One of them is length. The other is there are things you can do in movies and you can't do in books, and that can offer some really special opportunities. In the case of this book, we have two main characters, one of whom is a singer, the other of whom is an artist, a painter. And I thought, well, these are things that we really can make a big deal of in a movie. You can actually hear and see someone sing, and you can actually look at some beautiful artwork that can be created. And so those became sort of my keys to kind of unlocking the characters of these two, of the two lead characters, and in a way that was sort of very visual and people could connect with and understand with all their senses. And so that's how we kind of tried to structure the adaptation.
Cool.
I hope that wasn't too long an answer.
No, that's good. So Ben, can you tell us about your character and what role you're playing?
Yeah, so the story is about Ben and Tim, essentially, and the relationship they have that carries on for 12 years, is it?
Yes, 12 years.
Yeah, so it's about their relationship that goes on for 12 years. You know, in the first time that we meet Ben and Tim, they are both in high school, both very much like, you know, questioning who they are or what this relationship is that they have. And, oh, God, I don't want to ruin anything, but, I mean, like, to introduce my character, I kind of have to. So the first time that they have their situation, we'll call it, it kind of falls apart a little bit. And so then, you know, Tim goes off to a new school, and Ben stays at the high school, and then he graduates, and then he goes to Chicago, and then through some twist of events, he ends up meeting my character, Jace. Who is a very, he's a very just like together kind of, he's a very together force. He knows who he is. He's not ashamed of it. He's not about to hide it. He's a very good influence on Ben. And so then they have a little love affair. It's very cute. It's very sweet. They're very much in love. But then, you know, through another one of those old twists of fate, someone comes back into the picture, and, then things start to get complicated, and I'm just going to leave it there. But I really enjoy my character. Like, he's really got it together. He's just, like, a all-around good guy, and which is exactly what, you know, Ben needs in his life at this point. So it's great.
Well, who doesn't like a good guy? So
right.
Awesome.
Right.
Carlos,
few and far between.
Well, in your movie, thankfully, you're here.
Right.
So, Carlos, tell us about the Indiegogo campaign. We've probably got about like 10 minutes left, so I want to try to make sure we plug as many things as we can about the movie and your involvement and other people who are involved and anybody else that needs thanks and praise. We want to make sure to give shout-outs tonight. So tell us
Sure. Why
we're doing an Indiegogo campaign and what that means to you.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting to me that in so many ways, things about LGBT rights and profile of the communities, really, it's come such a long way, in the last 20 years. But paradoxically, the resources to make films that tell these kinds of stories have become severely restricted. And it's not just because of the kinds of films they are, although that's part of it, but a lot of it is just the entire industry is sort of in this massive revolution because of digital. And, you know, and so the downside of it is that these smaller, kind of more intimate, character-driven stories are really hard to be financed. And we've been really fortunate that in our past two films we have been able to find, you know, equity investors to provide a fair amount of the funding for it, but not all of it. And the other thing that's really important is that when the time comes to seek distribution, if you can have built a strong base of supporters, you know, just regular folks who buy into the project by virtue of their contributions, that gives you a leg up in terms of having people who are ready to spread by word of mouth. The fact that this story exists, it's on film, that it's great, and you should buy it too. And so crowdfunding is important on a lot of levels, not just the money that you're raising, which of course is important just to make sure the thing gets made, but also for its long-term prospects commercially and artistically, because you want an audience, and this is the best way to start building one. So that's why crowdfunding is so important. We are aiming really high with this. We've done crowdfunding for all of our projects, both of our feature projects. You know, the first time we aimed on Kickstarter to raise $5,000, we ended up raising $10,000, which was phenomenal. We thought it was great. And that was back in the kind of the early days of Kickstarter. So, you know, we were among the kind of first crop of independent films and certainly LGBT films that stood to benefit from fans helping fund your efforts. For the second film, The Dark Place, we aimed for $25,000. We thought that was like a huge stretch. We ended up raising $35,000 for that. So honestly, for this one, we were originally thinking of something around, you know, $50,000. For it, but we were encouraged by the fact that other projects of a similar scope of ours had, including Hunting Season, which Ben is a part of, had raised over $100,000 for their projects. And so we thought, you know, why not kind of go for the gold? So that's what we did. So we're 3 weeks into the 4 week campaign. We've raised, I think we're close to $37,000. I just heard a little beep go off on my phone, which means someone else just contributed, literally. I hear that all day and night, which is a very welcome little trill. So any of you who wants to keep making sure I awake at all hours, please feel free to contribute at, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'll appreciate it. We are, you know, more than a third of the way there. And the reality is there's a whole psychology to crowdfunding. Most of your funds are raised in the last week. So that's where we are. So it's kind of crunch time for us. We think we're doing pretty well, even though, you know, it's like $60,000 to go. I think Ben can kind of talk about his experience with crowdfunding where they raised in their last few days.
I was going to ask, what impact does crowdfunding have on an independent film project? I mean, I can give you my list of answers, but I want to hear it directly from you, Ben, because you've lived this. What difference does it make from, you know, A to Z? You tell me what your experience has been with this.
Well, I mean, so the thing is, when we were shooting the second season of my web series, Hunting Season, we did a Kickstarter campaign for $150,000, which in my head was just like this crazy, unobtainable number. But, I mean, in reality's sake, it's like if we did not make that money, there was not going to be a show. So, you know, the rest of the cast and I, the people that we had in place from season one going into season two, we were just like balls to the wall from day one. It was like a nonstop tweet, Facebook, Instagram fest, like just trying to engage as many people as possible, which is actually just it's such an amazing process because, you know, while you're out there, I mean, basically just trolling for money, you're also, you know, finding new fans, finding people who wouldn't have known about your show, your movie, your whatever, unless you had, like, really gone out there and done everything you could to get your message out there. So I mean, crowdfunding is such an amazing thing to me, and it just gives a lot of power to, you know, the average person living, you know, in the middle of nowhere who wants to see something made. It's like they have a voice in this process, and it's such a great thing, I think.
So Ben, did you reach your $150,000 goal, by the way?
We did. It was literally in the last 32 hours, we raised something like $60,000 in the last 32 hours. I did not get off my couch. I was sitting there with my computer on my lap, hitting the refresh button and tweeting and Facebooking like crazy. I almost had a heart attack. But we did make the money. We shot the show in August, and now we're doing the post thing. So hopefully we're going to have that out soon.
So, and I want to get back to something like summer real quick. But my question for that is, how many episodes does that let you make, or how many episodes are you hoping to make out of this?
Of hunting season,
something like summer.
Of
hunting season.
Oh, well, hunting season, we made 4 half-hour episodes.
Cool. Okay. That's just out of curiosity for me. So, okay. So, Carlos, back to the Indiegogo for something like summer. What do people get if they contribute? Let me back up here. If nobody's heard of Indiegogo or a Kickstarter before, can you tell us what it is, why it's important, and how it works? And then if people want to contribute, what kind of prizes do they get for being part of your magic?
Sure. On Kickstarter, they're called rewards. On Indiegogo, they're called perks, but they're essentially the same thing. You contribute at the amount that you're able to, and we start at $5 and go all the way to $10,000. And the perks cover a lot of different things. Some are obvious. We're doing a lot of we're offering direct digital downloads of the film as soon as it's available. We also offer that at the $25 level. We're offering autographed DVDs at the $50 level, various kinds of thanks on our website, in certain parts of the end credits. If you give it the $10,000 level, you actually appear in the opening credits, which is a very coveted spot. At $1,000 level, you actually are listed as an associate producer on IMDb. We offer props from the film at $300, company sponsorships at $250, what we're calling the complete fan pack and the ultimate fan pack, which I will not lie, we stole the idea completely from Hunting Season's Kickstarter last year. So thank you, Ben. I owe Ben a lot on a lot of levels, as you're discovering. And basically the fan packs are they're a bundle of things, the DVDs, the soundtrack from the film. Since we actually have to kind of produce a record album before we can produce the film, because there's 7 musical numbers in it. It's not a musical per se, but as I mentioned earlier, the main character is a singer, and his best friend is a singer, so there are several instances where they sing. So that becomes part of the soundtrack of the film. So we have to produce that before, do all the recording and mixing and everything for that before we do the actual shooting of the film next spring in Portland. So that's part of that fan pack. Posters for the movie, posters from the book series, copies of the shooting script. You get a picture of you and your true love in the end credits. We're doing a weekly video production diary during the 3 weeks that we're shooting the film. So that'll be like put together on the fly every week and then posted. So that's the complete fan pack. And the ultimate fan pack is basically all of that autographed. So that's the difference between those two. So we try to offer something of real value at whatever level people can afford to contribute, so that they come away, you know, both knowing that they're helping make this a reality and also getting something back from it, as well as some level of ownership in the fact that they've been part of making a project like this happen.
I love it. Guys, as we're running out of time real quick, Ben, can I get you to maybe give shout-outs to anybody, any friends, family, loved ones that are listening tonight that you want to say hi to, and then any last thoughts about the movie or things that you're working on right now?
Oh, man. Well, I didn't get actually any confirmation from people saying that they were, in fact, listening. So I just want to say a big thank you because I have been tweeting and Facebooking this out like mad. So I just want to say thank you so much to anyone who did tune in tonight. Your support really means so much. So really, thank you so much. Currently, we just wrapped shooting the second season of Hunting Season, so getting that under my belt. And then, you know, I've been gearing up for this. I'm really excited about this next project, Something Like Summer. I think it's going to be really great.
Right on. And just a real quick FYI for you guys, after the show's over tonight, this link for the show that you've clicked on or that you see on your, you know, Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, whatever, this is also available as an on-demand or a replay or encore best of, whatever you want to call it. So anybody that didn't get a chance to listen live, if they're out working or running around, they can always tune in later to hear you guys. So just, you know to keep spreading the word so that way you guys can have, you know, reach the 40,000, 50,000, 60,000 level tonight by midnight or something like that if you'd like.
Awesome.
Carlos?
That's amazing. Thank you.
Yay. Carlos, same for you. Any shout-outs and last words of wisdom for the audience tonight?
Well, there's more than probably I can do in the few minutes we have remaining, but I really want to make sure that I give a thanks to my producing partner and the director of the movie, JT Tetnapaw, who wasn't able to join us tonight. But this is our third feature together, and as I mentioned, we've been working as creative partners for the better part of a decade. So his vision and my vision, which sometimes clash, but usually ends up being better because of the clash, is such an important part of this show. And, you know, and I want to thank all the people who've been supportive to us thus far. We've got kind of a crew of friends we've amassed over the years who really, they just give of their time so generously to promote our projects and do some of just the heavy lifting and grunt work that a campaign like this requires. And then I also want to say to the fans of the book that we just signed with the management of the final actor who's playing Tim Wyman, who's the second main character. So we will be able to announce that later this week. I know they've been kind of frothing at the mouth to find out who that's going to be. And
can we get an exclusive right here?
Oh, I wish I could. There's one signature I need on a piece of paper
before
I do that. But I do want to let people know there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and that will be happening before the end of the campaign. So stay posted. Sign up for our newsletter, because our newsletter subscribers, I always guarantee that they find out, they get the email first. You can subscribe to our newsletter at somethinglikesummer.com, easy to remember. And our Facebook page is Something Like Summer Movie. The movie is the name of it. So you can find us that way as well. And there's a newsletter link to sign up there as well. So so we have lots of news and stuff happening between now and the end of the campaign. I think JT and I are going to be doing a marathon live stream, audio live stream for the last 24 hours of the campaign. So we're going to need help staying awake. So, you know, call in and tweet questions and whatever, because we've got to talk for 24 hours.
That will be hot. Very, very cool, guys. Mm. Well, everybody, go ahead, Ben. You bet.
I'm so sorry. Really quick, I just got a hit on my Facebook page, and I just want to say thank you so much to Brad Lane for listening this evening.
Brad, thanks
and
for
Ben
listening.
For letting
right on.
Me know that you were listening.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Throwing that
okay.
out there.
Everybody, it's been my pleasure tonight to welcome Carlos Pedraza and Ben Bauer. They are here promoting Something Like Summer. You can go contribute to their Indiegogo campaign. They've got 7 days left, and they want your money and support, and you get cool stuff along the way. The link for that is on the show page. You can listen to this and replay it. So if you just need to absorb the movie and then think about it, do that, but then go back and click the link and contribute to their campaign. We're going to be back tomorrow night with Tarot Jeff on Tuesday. We've got Rebecca Fisk Thursday. We've got Bob Hicks with Parade of Lights in the City of Norco. And then Friday, and I've got a method to my madness here, folks. Friday, we're doing the Miles High Holiday with all kinds of entertainers who are calling in live from around the country and around the world, including Margot Ray. This is her hit from this past summer, but we're going to be playing her Christmas music, which is racing up the charts on Friday. But this is her hit, Habit. So we'll see you live tomorrow night. Don't drive distracted. We'll see you later, folks.
Listening to Rated G Radio.